We're going to look at, this is going to be really fast, so you're going to need to go there quickly. Really, why don't you go to Psalm 25, 14. Just go over to Psalm 25. And we're going to finish up our path series today. Getting on the right path. Because we want to be on the right path. Because, church, that means you're being led.
Right.
Means you're being led. And the best thing in life is to be led. And then you're not trying to make a plan and get God to bless it. You're in His plan. And you're walking where He worked. Right. And it's way easier to walk where God has already worked instead of trying to make your own path and get Him to get in on it. So I'm going to read verse 4 and then we're going to drop down to 14. It says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Like I said, that's about being led. We're on a journey. We've had a journey. We've been talking about the paths, the ways of God. And there's three things that we've come to know. Number one, God does have a way He wants to lead us. Number two, His methods, He has methods of doing things that work. His method will work for us. He's God, church. He's smart. Okay? And then number three, He possesses things in His very character that bring adventure, success, victory, peace, harmony, and rest. Church, living for God is not boring. It's not hard. And it's not taking your fun away. If you're experiencing any of those, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. He brought you here to have a good time.
That's right.
I know there's stuff going on in the world, but you're in God. You're in God. And I know there are times when hard times come along, but that's because of choices. Life is choice-driven. But you can have a good time. Even right now in America, you can have a good time. It'll be all right. So we know by God's word that there are ways and paths and promises for all of us. Now, we said this Wednesday night. A lot of you don't come on Wednesday night. So I want to repeat this scripture. It's verse 14 there, Psalm 25, 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. And what we said, when you look up the real translation, it says, He has a covenant to let me know. He has covenanted with you. So on His side, He's going to let you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, I mean, from a small child, I heard, you never know what God's going to do. But actually, this right here tells us what God's going to do. It tells us what He's done. It tells us what He's going to do. And so there are a lot of things that were said over time and excuses that people made and scriptures that were taken out of context that put a lot of lies on Christian people. And one of those lies is that we don't understand what God does. But He clearly told us in the book of Proverbs to get understanding. He told us that, so He wants us to know. So He has sworn by a covenant that He will let us know. And this is another thing. His paths won't cross the word. They're not going to cross the word, not going to go, well, the Lord told me that I'm going to marry Brother Copeland and Gloria will have to leave. That's so, but did you know there are actually people who said that years ago? Some lady came up with that. This is ridiculous to me, you know, as much as I love Larry, he's not going to give Jesse up for me. I just know that to be true. Now, he's my kid. Praise the Lord. But you see what I'm saying? There's silly things that we come up with, and then there's things that don't seem so silly that won't cross the word. We actually think maybe it's right, but we have to check the word every time. Amen? We need to see, you know, if you're hearing something from God, I always say this to the Lord. I want a word on it. I want a word on it. What does the word say about it? And so, you know, there are people who say this, well, you know, the Lord, he does heal, but he chose not to heal me. What does the word say? Well, the Lord, he uses the devil to ... what does the word say? The thief steals, kills, and destroys. Jesus came to give life and life more abundant. Well, what about Paul's thorn? Well, read the Bible. What about it? It said it's a messenger of Satan. Well, what about Job? Well, what about Job? He feared and the devil got in. And then he goes through a long thing trying to figure it all out. Yeah, but what about God giveth and God taketh away? The Lord told Job, you spoke wrongly of me. Listen, just because something's written in here, I mean, Judas went out and hung himself. Go ye and do likewise? No. There are things written in here, but you need to find out the whole context, what's really being said, and not just believe Paul's thorn and Job's turkey. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Don't be a turkey. Praise the Lord. Go to Turkey. I'm going to Turkey. Did y'all know that? We're going to go to Ephesus. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we talked about mysteries. I just want to mention this to you one more time because I want you to be able to teach people about this. I know you're all scriptorians, but I want you to get this. Jesus spoke in parables for purpose. The purpose is mercy. He spoke in parables for mercy because once you know a truth, you're responsible for that truth. And so those that are not so hungry, they don't really want to get so involved. He spoke in parables, so they'll stay on that level. They won't be responsible for that word, and there'll be mercy there for them. The sower went to sow. To them, sowed seed. To us, sowed word. See? We're responsible for that. We know that. We understand that. And so mysteries are there for us. They're not hidden from us. They're there for us. But those parables help protect people that are not quite ready to eat the word. Amen. And so for those of us that are hungry, we're going to be responsible. And that's most of us here. And so we also said that you just can't obey when you see a favorable outcome. Okay, Lord, I'll do that. You're leading me down this path. I already know I can do this. I already know the outcome. I have enough money right now to do this. Amen. An easy example, this is the easiest one I could think of, is if God called you to go somewhere and you didn't even check about going because the price of going there already looked like too much. For example, we all go to the convention. Well, the rooms there are anywhere from 140 to two something a night. So some people automatically would just say, oh, I can't go. But if God told you to go, he provides. Some people won't even step across a threshold because they automatically think they're disqualified for some reason or another in their life. I can't do that. I don't know that. I'm from here. I don't have the education. I'm white. I'm black. I'm red. I'm brown. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Mom and them said I couldn't do it. Whatever it is, people won't even step out on God's will. Without even giving him a chance to provide where he guides. I told you, and I don't mind telling you again, I have thoughts about an $8 million piece of property for Victory Church. Now, some of us looked at a $5 million and we were like, well, it's no different than this, what we bought this for. God did it all then. That's one thing I learned from Pastor Nancy. Look at the dream first because God can provide. I have a friend. His last name is Holler. And he goes to a church in McKinney, Texas. And a man walked into that. It's a small church. And a man walked in there and gave them $9 million. Some of y'all just went, oh. God's providing for what they need. Don't think he won't do that for us.
That's right.
That's right, Margaret. Preach it. No respecter of persons. That is the truth. So let's just look at this about being led down the path. Now, remember the story about Afghanistan. The people go to Afghanistan. They turn on. They get a radio program going. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Not one response on that radio program. Some people in America, the church in America, they start praying for Afghanistan. And then the people at the radio station find out about it, that they're praying, they're praying, they're praying. All of a sudden, after they start, they pray for about, what, a month, 2 months, something like that. All of a sudden, everybody starts emailing the radio station. 1,000 emails a week. They went from 0 to 1,000 emails a week. Why? Because they begin to walk where God had worked. Walk where God has worked. Walk where their prayer has been prayed. Walk where God has made a path. Go His way and you'll have success. Pray it out. Pray it out. Amen. It's just the truth. We want to walk where he's worked. John the Baptist was a voice of one crying in the wilderness. He brought up the valleys. He took down the mountains with words. With words he did it. We are the nowadays John the Baptist. The Church of the Living God has the anointing of John the Baptist to begin to lay tracks out for the return of the Messiah. That's what we're doing right now. But also, you lay tracks out in your life. And I'm helping you lay tracks out in your life. We are praying for this church and this community and the churches in this community, our sister churches around Texas, things like that. And we're believing God that you can walk where God has worked. You're going to walk where God has worked. Amen. Don't let go of that, church. That's the most important thing about paths. You remember Paul. He's going to pass through Macedonia. And he said, and it may be that I will remain or even spend winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. I'm in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 7. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. If the Lord permits. Look at somebody and say, if the Lord permits. Says, I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great and effective door. A great and effective door, church. A great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Now, there's a good reason to take the path. There are adversaries. Stay on the path. If you're on the path, you got to keep going. I don't care who runs up on the path. You just keep going. That angel will kick that coyote in the teeth or whatever it is, the bear or whatever. Praise the Lord. Y'all just. Okay. So he's telling them that he's not going to stop on the way over, that he was going to stop on the way over. It'd be like me calling Jeff and Chris and saying, I was going to drop by y'all's house. But I got to go on out to Kingsland first because the Lord told me to go there first. I'll see y'all on the way back. Okay. And then we would meet, see each other then. He had to walk where God worked. God said, don't stop there yet. Go here.
Yeah. That's good.
He did the same thing. The same thing that happened to the radio station people. It's exactly the same. They begin to walk where God has worked. Listen, church, earthly places, and we've experienced this around here, earthly places that have been in drought for a long time, they don't handle floodwaters. Have you noticed that? The earth's too hard. It's too crusty to soak up the water. Instead of being a blessing, it causes damage. Well, those areas, they need dew. They need soft rain. They need light showers. The ground needs to soften up. And then they can handle some heavy rain. And this is what Paul was doing in Ephesus. He went to Ephesus. He prayed in the Spirit. He was there. He's praying in tongues. He's praying in the Spirit. He left Priscilla and Aquila. Y'all know Priscilla and Aquila. He left them there. It was a couple there. And they discipled Apollos, who became a preacher. And so what we see is he softened the ground. He didn't go in there and try to start a big church and win everybody to Jesus on the first day. He softened the ground. He prayed. Prayer mentor, Ms. Lynn Hammond, Pastor Lynn Hammond, she taught us that a long time ago. Pastor Mac, her husband, he's a great pastor, but he's very evangelistic. And they go into places all over the world and they'll plant churches. But they send prayer teams first.
Yeah.
They send prayer teams before they go to a meeting. Brother Copeland does too. Sends Riley and different people in. And they do something spiritually there before they actually go in there and hold the meetings. Y'all see that? You see what I'm telling you? So this is what the Apostle Paul did. He got the ground ready. Priscilla and Aquila came in there and began to work. Apollos began to preach. You know the scripture where it said, one watered, one, all those things. Amen. So he sprinkled the spiritual water on that hard ground so it could get ready for a flood. Can I tell you right now? Can I just tell you that's what God is doing here in this community? We're just watering the ground and watering the ground and watering your ground and watering your ground. Because when the glory of God manifests heavy, you gotta be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. This town has to be ready. Thank you, Jesus, for that. He wasn't gonna instantly harvest all the field. He got the ground ready. He would have been really disappointed if he'd have just gone in and tried to do that. Amen, church. One more time. I'm being redundant. Only work where God, walk where God has worked. Pray about it. Amen. Now, yeah, Lord, thank you. That's why I always tell you that there's going to be people involved. There'll always be a connection with people that gets you to the next place. I always start looking, even in when we begin to actually go out and look for our new place where we're going to build, things like that. I start looking, there'll be people. There'll be movement in that. You see what I'm saying? There'll be someone involved that gets you to your next client. Someone involved that gets you to your next place. Y'all get this. There's always people involved. We call them divine appointments.
Right.
Amen. And you'll move forward in those things. And so, but where are they? Where are the people? They're on the path that God has worked. So if you're over there and God's sending you to burn it and you're going down to Round Mountain and your people are up there at Captain D's having lunch, you're going to miss them. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I knew it was Captain something. I guessed at the letter, but. Maybe I didn't. The Lord told it to me. He has worked where I'm walking. Okay. Now, so, listen, God wants you to be effective. He wants victory for you. Listen, when you are victorious, you are influential. When you got healed today, that is not just for you. Yes, it's for you because he loves you, but then your testimony will influence other people. Your prosperity influences other people. Your positiveness influences other people. I have a friend, which shall remain unnamed at this moment, that I see every 4 or 5 years. And every time I've talked to this friend over the last 25 years, This may be the most negative person I've ever known in my whole life. I love him, but he's extreme. When you start talking to him, it's, well, And it's everything is bad. Everything is bad. Everything is bad. That does not influence people. And so, when you're in a crowd with this person, everybody takes a turn so the other people can get away. You've been there. Everybody's laughing because y'all know somebody just like that. And so, you know, you're like, all right, I'll take my turn. It's not that we don't love that person, because we do. God loves that person. But there's nothing. I mean, nothing. But that does not influence one person. What influences someone is when you win. It doesn't mean you don't have to overcome some things, but it means you do overcome them, that you're on the overcoming side. It means that you do give God the glory and smile sometimes. I got to get back to what we're doing here. Okay, so we're going to increase. And you know, it kind of seems like, particularly in America, let's just go there for just a second. It seems like maybe to us, like things have been a little slow to get back to being great. I'll just say it like that. It seems like it's been a little slow, that it's taken a long time to maybe see some justice, or maybe you thought the awakening would roll in quicker. Maybe you thought we'd be in here with a thick cloud by now, with people lined up out the door trying to get in here and everything, which is coming. But maybe you thought faster, maybe you thought America would be great again a little faster, that justice would happen. But listen, it's been a whole lot less than 430 years. They were in slavery for 430 years. I think we can make it. And we don't have that long, because Jesus is not going to be gone for another 430 years. We're on it right now. So I think we can look ahead. I think we can do what we're called to do. Amen. Just be encouraged, because we haven't been in this that long. And I'm telling you, while we're waiting, hearts are getting wet. They're getting ready. People want to know. I don't know if you all realize this, but in our youth ministry, people are getting saved almost every week. Like, how many were at Luther? Like 5? Do you realize? 5 last week? I mean, think about that. And the week before that, 2. And the week before that. These guys are on fire. They're always doing something in there. It's moving. People are getting saved. People want to know the truth. People are interested. And so those things are happening. And so if we build those roads, those prayer roads, then everybody's going to get ready. And listen, church, here's a point I want to make to you. Sustainable increase always comes from the inside. It's always going to come from the inside. To increase on the outside, you have to increase on the inside. Listen to Exodus 23:30. Little by little, I'll drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. It's interesting to notice that in Ephesus, increase did come a little at a time. Didn't grow overnight from 12 to thousands, right? They weren't all committed to burning their ungodly past in a bonfire immediately. Things had to work through. It took a little bit of time, but it began to move. And the Holy Spirit brought increase gradually. He did that with you. Yeah. And the more opportunity he had to work and prepare the way, the more he could pour God's power out on the city. And the more power poured out, the more increase came. That's just a marvelous progression. It just works right. Amen. So, did you notice you didn't get rid of all your problems at once? Because the rags to riches story usually doesn't happen. Now, I've seen some great progress. I've watched people come in here, broke, no job, didn't have anything, and start serving in the church. That defined them, got a good job, moved forward, and began to prosper. I've seen that over and over because of order. They begin to flow in that. But it took a little bit. It took them getting some word. It took them submitting to the word, acting on the word, getting on the right path, but they did it. Amen. They kept listening. Praise the Lord. God's going to drive out those giants little by little. He's going to take them out so that we can increase. Maybe some of you didn't get over gossip immediately. Maybe some of you didn't get over getting offended over everything. Church, you do realize that you're not supposed to be offended for other people as well as yourself? It's true. Well, I don't like the way they treated Art. Well, that's the same offense as if you were offended about yourself. Well, that was free. It got quiet when I talked about it. Anyway, back to what we're talking about. As I said, sustainable increase always comes from the inside out. So if you just increase on the outside, you're going to lose. Okay. Got to back up here. Church, talk to the Lord. No strife. If you are offended at anyone in this church, get over it. Go talk to them. If you think someone's offended at you, go talk to them. And if they say, I'm not speaking to you, go get someone else to go with you. This is Bible. This is Bible. Get someone else to go with you. Approach them again. And then if they will not receive you, call me. That's the order of the scriptures. That's what we're called to do. It's not immediately, I'm going to tell mama they're not talking to me. Go say, what have I done to offend you? Can I make it right? You don't go to them and say, you mad at me? What you got? Just say, have I done something to offend you? Because I want to make it right. Take the blame. Be big. Well, I'm mad because I saw the way you looked at my mama. Petty, little. God will see to me. He will take care of me. I don't need you to slap somebody for me. Although some of you might do that. No, I'm just kidding. He'll take care of us. I don't have to defend you. God will defend you. I would defend you, but I won't be offended for you. Let me say it like that. I will not be offended for you. Would you do that? Why'd you look at Alora like that? I don't know why I'm talking about this, but maybe we need to keep this in our hearts for the future. Cause I don't know of anyone that even feels like this, but I'm telling you, if it's there, or if you're holding something that is pushing you further back and further back, you are only taking a path out the door, and you do not want to do that.
That's right.
Talk to yourself. Talk to God about it. Amen. Thank you. I know God wants me to say it, so praise the Lord. All right, now, so Lynn Hammond's story. Here's Lynn Hammond's story. They were looking for a building. They needed a bigger building. And so they didn't go and try to knock down the door or start looking for land. And they didn't call Macon and Pat right away. They were just looking. So they prayed. And so they heard something that you might not expect God would say when they're looking for building and land. God said, give me your mornings. Give me your mornings. In other words, let's pray this through. Let's get this through. Let me show you the path to go on. I will work on that path. Did y'all wear those green shirts on purpose together?
No, I didn't even see them.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're back. So I'm just, they're pretty. So take that path. Whatever he says, it could be unusual. And this is the part in these last few minutes that I want to get to. things sometimes they seem a little unusual. But if you give him what he asks you for, if you give him what he asks you for, you're going to get a whole lot of increase and effectiveness so much more quickly. Is that good, English teacher? Much more quickly? Much more quickly than you would if you're trying to figure these things out yourself. So you cannot, listen to me, you cannot obey just what you understand. You can't just obey just what you think you could do. Someday in your life, you're going to be called to step out into a new place. And you may not understand it. But it's, I mean, it's happened to me a lot of times. And I know it's happened to you too. But if you'll do it and you'll take a chance with God, the idea is to know it's God. But then when you do it, and you do know, it's not something you thought of. It's what God told you to do. This is something that I've used. I learned this from Sister Copeland. I've used this for my whole life in ministry. Lord, I'm looking at this, and I have a desire for this. Let's just say it was land or something, okay? But if this is not you, I will walk away from it and never mention it again. That has helped me so much. Lord, I'm going to build this house. But if you don't want me to build this house and you say no, I'll never mention it to you again. We'll go your way. Lord, I'm going to move to Marble Falls. I believe this is what you're calling me to do. You let me know, because there's a prayer that says, do not let me be deceived, Holy Spirit. Do not let me be deceived. And I will not go that way, and I'll never mention it to you again. If this is my house I'm supposed to buy, tell me, Lord, if this is my job, if this is my new husband, if this is the, for boys, this is my wife, if this is whatever it is, you tell me, Lord. I don't care how handsome the brother is. He might be the devil in blue jeans. And a little more tempting if he's got boots on. But the truth is, if he's not the brother, he's not the one, you don't want to get involved with that. If this is not your church, you don't want to get involved here. You'll be miserable. But if it's your church, you'll just be so happy. You'll just be splashing in the water and having a good time. Amen. If this is your town, you'll drive through it and say, I love this town.
Yeah.
We drove through it yesterday and we're like, yeah, love this town. It's a good place. Amen. You're with your people. I love these people. We have the best people. You just know. You get a sense about it, but you start where God has led you. Amen. And so when you get with your people and you get mad sometimes, you're going to turn around and get glad.
That's right.
Amen.
That's how it works.
If pastor makes you mad, you're going to have to get happy again and forgive. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. I'm trying. Actually, I'm just being led. Now, it is just a great privilege to be a believing believer, isn't it?
Yes.
What a great privilege to be a believing believer. So good, especially in this culture of people that don't believe anything.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Let's go here and we'll start going down the closing line here. This is Matthew 13:54. Thank you, Jesus. Hope you're getting some of this today. Matthew 13:54, and when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is he not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. They were too familiar. They said, he's our cousin. You mean he works for God? He's our cousin. Where'd he get all that smart? That's what they were thinking. And they couldn't receive from him. They weren't looking at the anointing on his life. They were looking at, they remember playing out in Mamaw's house with him. But listen, let's go a little deeper. They were offended by what? Their own reasoning. It was their own reasoning. They said, that can't work. How could that work? They were offended in a typical sense where their feelings were hurt or they were bitter about something. Those two things are always that you're bitter about something or your feelings are hurt and you go with that instead of staying on the path. I'm preaching really good right now. I'm gonna say amen to myself because we all need to hear this. All of us, me included. So, they couldn't put two and two together. And so they arrive at a conclusion. Jesus' wisdom and his miracles did not fill them with wonder. They were like, what's he doing here? It caused them to become hard-hearted. And they rejected him and they shut Jesus down and he didn't do all the things he could have done. Listen, church, to have questions is healthy. To hold God hostage to those questions is not. Okay? You can't hold God hostage and keep him locked in a place because you don't understand. I sat in a church from 5, 4, 3, 2 years old until I was 20 years old who taught me things that were not true. Some of you have been there. They taught me things that weren't true. Loved the people. They taught me some good things. I got saved there, but they taught me things that weren't true. I could not hold on to the things that were not true. I had to step out and go find out and look for truths myself and be willing to say, they're bless their heart. It's no offense to them, but I see something else in the Word. I can't stay in my own reasoning. I can't hold God hostage. I can't hold Jesus hostage. I want healing. I want miracles. I want the prosperity that God has offered me. I want effectiveness and influence and whatever God has for me. And so I'm not going to hold him hostage by saying, we can't do that. How are we going to do that? We're not a big enough church to do that. We're not this. Hey, if three of us can pray, we're big enough.
That's right. Yeah, boom. Yeah. There you go.
We're big enough.
Yep.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Listen, I need you to get this before we close here. Not understanding is okay. You don't have to understand every single thing. But restricting our spiritual life to what we do understand is what's going to mess you up. You can't restrict yourself to just what you know. We're stepping further and further into the graces of God, the truths of God. We have to be willing to look at those things. Amen. Revelation that doesn't lead to a divine encounter will only make us more religious. Teaching us to embrace external standards without internal realities. Isn't that good? God's not opposed to the mind. He's not opposed to it. He's opposed to the unrenewed mind. Amen? And the Christian who governs their life through their mind is a carnal Christian. Well, I would just be too embarrassed to go to a church where they raise their hands. That's carnal. It is. You know, when I say carnal, I'm not being ugly. I'm saying they're in their fleshly thinking. It's just their five senses, just how they've been brought up. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what we need to do. We need to learn more about that actual voice and the presence of the Lord. And just stop being so paranoid about being deceived by what we can't explain. You mean that happened over there? I don't know. Remember when the gold happened? I was like, okay. I felt like that. And I thought, boy, you better not go there because you don't know.
That's right.
And then me and Deb and the Browns went to a meeting. And I watched a lady who was ministering gold started happening. Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, she had like flat hair, no poofy or nothing, you know, like I do. And she just shook her hair and gold went everywhere. And people that were worshiping God, they got gold all over their faces. See, are you on a chokehold right now?
No.
Are you choking right now? Because I was choking when I walked in there. This was years ago. I was like, I don't know about that. And the anointing of God, which I totally recognized, came in and took me to the floor. And I still have that gold in my Bible to this day. It's on the page with Deuteronomy 8:18. God will manifest in certain ways when the glory of the Lord manifests. Oil, people's hands would get oily, all sorts of things. Is that too hard for you? There's going to be some things happening in the church, folks. Is it? Do you believe the man that we prayed for, the blind man? Did you go, I wonder if he really got healed? He did. And the man with MS that's still walking, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. And I happen to know the little boy at Walmart that got his hearing here. Mm-hmm. He still talks about it, doesn't he, Miss Kathy? Mm-hmm. He's a man now. He still talks about it. But are these things too big for us? Are miracles too much for us? Could you get a miracle? Could you get debt freedom just like that?
Yeah.
Could you get something happen to you? Could you be given something you weren't thinking about? Could you move forward? Could that happen to you? Could a miracle happen to you? Could it happen to you? Could a miracle happen to you? Something happen to your body that was a miracle? I've had miracles in my body over and over. Both of my knees blew out, and I went skiing anyway and hit the slopes, and when I did, both of my knees were healed. Yeah, happens to me all the time. When my friend said they wrote a $9 million check, you know what I said? That happens to me all the time. Well, what are you saying? I'm confessing that I agree with God that we can have these things we need. Church, take your failures and throw them away. You are victorious. God's not looking at your failure. He's looking at Jesus.
That's right.
That is right.
Man, I gotta finish. We're still early, but blah, 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 blah. Okay. God is holding a mystery to be found. Now, remember Easter eggs? You hid them depending on the child. Is that right?
Yeah.
Because when the babies are walking out there, the green and yellow, they're perfect. You can see them perfectly. They're looking and you're yelling at them. Go there, go there, there. That's how God is. Depending on where you are in your growth, the mysteries are there for you. Now the teenagers, the last time we did this was on Easter and we hit them a little bit harder for y'all. They were cleaning up out there. I'm telling you, they're making some money. There's had money in them. But depending on where you are, depending on your willingness to search, depending on what you're looking for in God, I'm getting happy right now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God's just that way. According to his children's ability to find, he's going to put things out there for you. This is our inheritance. This is our inheritance that we can walk the paths, pick up the mysteries along the way and have influence and increase and be a witness of Jesus, Almighty God, and this earth and the people in it will respond. You're really here for just one purpose, aren't you? To influence people about Jesus. But it's a whole package. Because you get to have fun along the way. You get to have success along the way. If something breaks down, you get healed along the way. If something fails, you can fix it. You'll get picked up. He'll move you on along the way. If somebody talks ugly about you, they'll have to change their mind.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
Doesn't matter anyway. Don't worry about that. You know what to do when somebody persecutes you, don't you? You get up and you leap. You leap. You know what the rabbis do when they don't understand something in the scripture? Show them, Deb. This is what rabbis do when they don't understand scripture.
Here's the scripture and they go. And they start dancing and praising and worshiping God.
Yep.
Because they know that they're...
No, you gotta turn, do the turnaround thing. Oh, no, yeah. That's what they...
Glory to God.
We do this at our house. We're like, now what does that mean? We start dancing around. Well, we don't know the answer. Because you're gonna find out the answer. He's not hiding from you. Thank you very much. Give Deb a hand clap. If you notice, her dancing skills are a little more elaborate than y'all. She was a modern dancer in the old days. And she has this fluid... We just did that on TV. Oh, Lord. Okay. Three things that we're going to go. Three things. Here's the 3 points right here. Number one, as we are in the presence of the Lord, as we see the manifestation of the Spirit, you may not be able to explain them to your carnal thinking. Trust God for the mystery.
Yes.
Son, do that. Yes. And you're going, okay.
Yep. Come on, that's good.
Okay. Number two. Did y'all get it? Trust God for the mystery. Number two. Here's the big one. It is very hard to imagine the church bringing answers to the issues of life when much of our eschatology anticipates world conditions getting worse. We cannot base what's going on in our... Just going, well, you know, things are just so bad and they're just going to continue to get worse because rapture's coming. That's not how we can live. If we're going to be an influence, we're going to keep the kingdom going. We're going to keep pushing the kingdom forward.
Yeah.
You cannot base what you think the prophets meant.
Yeah.
Well, the prophet said this and the prophet did that. Watch out for that. Now, you may have some truths about it. It may be the truth. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost on that. But the truth is that if Jesus is coming back tomorrow at 9, then from right now till then, I'm preaching the kingdom. I'm living for God. I'm not quitting because the rapture, I think the rapture is going to happen next week. That's not what we do. Well, you know, the world's just going to hell in a handbasket. So I guess we better just do nothing. No, this is when we get up and light our lamps. This is when we get up and we do something. This is when we become an influence. Very important that you keep going after your Easter eggs, your mysteries.
Yeah.
Very important that you keep taking the path.
Yeah.
So I think you're probably at the top of your assignment where you are. Now, it'd be real easy to say, well, he's at the top. What's he going to do? Oh, there's more. Oh, there's more. There's so much more. You know, I'm the leader of this ministry. Is there more? Yes. Yes. Are there higher places to go? Yes. Is there promotion for me? Yes. And it's not to heaven. There's promotion right here.
Right.
Well, you know, Pastor, you done worked yourself out a job. You got about 5 kids around you. You can do everything. No. But I'm glad because I have The hollers tell me all the time, you've done your job. You've done your job. That's a good thing. But I'm going higher. I'm going higher. I'm going into a fuller assignment. How long have we been together? 12 years, maybe? 10, 12 years? 14 years? How's Paisley? Nine years? Okay. 9 years. And probably the second time y'all walked in the house, the Lord said that you would be a mother and father in the house. And now here you are. All these years. Same with you guys. Right away, the Lord told me about Danny. God just did it. I just remember all these things. And here now, he's done it. We've walked these paths together, and we have this. You know what they said about us? You know what Pastor Holler said about us, Brandon? He said, I love it because you're so multi-generational. He's a pastor's pastor. He's so, he looks at things. We've made it, church, but we're going to make it a lot further. It's going to get, can I say it like this? Gooder and gooder. Number three. Okay, we're closing. Our faith is not anchored in any darkness. We're not focusing on escaping. We'll stay here till it's done. Number three, Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is the last one. Mary, the mother of Jesus, knew what it was like to live with mysteries. She pondered in her heart all the time. Mary had the greatest encounter with mystery because Gabriel showed up and said a virgin was going to conceive God. Wow. Now that's a mystery to think about. And her questions, okay, what'd she say? Be it done unto me according to thy word. And she walked into it not understanding how it could go.
Wow.
But she did it. She was raised like that. She was raised by grandparents and parents. Yep. She went to temple school, in case you don't know. And she was raised to believe God. You've been raised to believe God. Yes, you have.
Yes, we have.
She yielded beyond understanding. Say that. Yielded beyond understanding. You can do it. You can do what God calls you to do. And listen, church, in essence, that glorious story is repeated every time we're impregnated with a promise and a dream. Every time we have to face this. Every time we have to say, okay, I'm on a new trail right here. I'm stepping out into a new place. You've just been impregnated with a new dream. You've just been impregnated with a new, promise. Elijah had to keep leaving where he was. The brook dried up, he went here. This happened, he went there. All he had to do was stay on the path. All he had to do was be led. All he had to do was listen. And God kept showing up and said, we can do this. We can do this. Just follow me through here. Just follow me through here. Just come right through here. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He just longs to unlock the mysteries for those who desire them. There are hidden things for us. We can't bring God and his word nor his spiritual realm down to our carnal level. I remember when I first started this, I was 2 weeks into being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I started prophesying and didn't know what I was doing. And I was like, it just started coming out. And I appreciate Bree. Bree reminds me of myself a whole lot because she'll say, she did, she's past this now, but she would say to me in the earlier days, I had something, but I didn't know if I should say it. I can't tell you how many times I said the same thing. I had something, but I didn't know. I wasn't sure. And then breakthrough happened. And I thought, you know what? Let it roll.
Yep.
And that just broke me into a whole new place where to this day, when I'm invited to churches, they want me to come to prophesy. I just want to go and preach the word of faith. It's my open door to go, because I would rather preach the word of faith than anything, that God is good. But God used that gift. He's going to use your gifts. Don't be afraid of those gifts that are on you. You hear me, Jeffrey? Don't be afraid of that gift. If you're prophetic, you're prophetic. If you have healing in your hands, you have healing in your hands. If you, whatever the ministry is that God has given you, do it. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Let me see if I can say a closing word here and we will go. We're going to see our hunger increase. And we're going to see great and unusual things. Get ready for unusual things. Everybody in here knows how faith works. Everybody does. Everybody. And we need to live by faith. So when God tells you to do something, just do it. I tell you, there's been times when God has told me, give $1,000. And I learned not to hesitate anymore. Just learn not to hesitate. Okay. I'll just do it. Because I know that He knows my future. And that seed just became my employee.
Right.
Just started working for me. My seeds are working for me right now.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You received this today? Father, we thank you for the internet audience. We thank you, Lord, for all of those who've been listening in. We really love you guys. I've been talking to some of you over the last few days. We're so glad you're listening. We just love you so much. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Amen.